Hello, poetry lovers and degenerates.
But I'll tell you, one resident of Arlen is offering this community a little relief from the heat in the form of a kind, cool wave on the side of the highway.
People toss around the word hero, but this guy's a real hero. I don't know his name, so I guess we can only call him the Heat Wave.
I have a dream.
That
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Taranaki Review Podcast, brought to you by thedirt.co.nz. Your number one spot for all things off-road, testing, reviews, interviews, features like this, podcast, you name it, we got it. Thedirt.co.nz. I'm your host, Chris Power, and we are here to talk about Taranaki, round one of the Fox New Zealand Motocross Nationals, held on the weekend just before. And with me on the phone, he's back by popular demand, the numero uno when it comes to doors in the bay. That's right, we've got Scott Wilkins back. How are you, Scott?
Hey, Griff, how are you going?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. It's just reveling in the weekend's racing.
Yeah, it was an awesome, fine day down in the Taranaki, down in New Plymouth. And got to say, the New Plymouth, Taranaki Motorsport Club turned it on. It's probably the best I've ever seen Barrett Road presented. And they started watering on Tuesday night and ripped it nice and deep. And yeah, they produced a hell of a track. Probably the best I've seen Barrett Road ever.
Yeah, it was not bad looking, actually. I was standing on the sideline kind of wishing I was racing. I got there just as race one started, so I didn't see any practice. But the track looked nice and tacky. And thankfully, the sun wasn't out straight away, so that helped it out, I think, a bit. But yeah, pretty good track prep by my standards anyway.
Yeah, no, I think they did an awesome job. I know some people weren't particularly happy with watering at lunchtime and the first MX2 race was good. We had half for lunch, but I actually think that made the track a lot better for round three. When that cloud burnt off and the sun came out, it was a pretty scorching day. And yeah, I think it was a credit to the team up there, and they did an awesome job.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Without that water and before race two for the MX2 guys, it would have gone pretty dusty. And yeah, I was down the line at that time and they weren't stoked about it, but I prefer mud over dust because at least you can always see.
Yeah, no, I'm the same as you. I think the MX2 riders took one for the team a little bit, and I was pretty sure it'll change in other rounds, but yeah, I think that third round of racing, how tacky and how much water was still on the track, proved that the club made the right call there.
Oh, it definitely was the right call. Maybe next time put the MX3 guys out, just because MX2, it's still a championship, so people still get pretty uptight about it. MX3 might have just wiped off a lot of that extra slush.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, definitely something to have a look at. The way that is. So yeah, I mean, it's up to the series organisers. But yeah, I find a lot of the other tracks may not do that. You know, especially somewhere like Harris Hall with the clay, you can't really add extra water to it during the day because it just becomes dice rink. But yeah. We'll see how it goes. I think the club made the right call, and off to Rotorua in a couple of weeks. And last year their track was awesome as well. And I know the Phillipses are already hard at work with their helpers and the Rotorua club getting that track ready.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's going to be fun too. It's 2 weeks' time, so looking forward to that. But back to this week, racing was pretty good in some classes. We'll start with 125s, the class that probably was the least exciting. Well, less exciting in terms of who won it, because Harwood pretty much just got to the front early, checked out all three races.
Yeah, we're pretty sure Harwood was going to do that, but I actually thought Brody gave him a good run. I mean, for 15 years old, his first senior national, was going to get three times a sitting next two champ. He got every whole shot, and he led probably for almost half a race in the first one, and then actually stayed quite close to Harwood. Later in the day, Harwood managed to get the lead earlier and check out a bit, but yeah. I think Brody stepped up, and at 15 years old, I think he's got a lot to learn, and he didn't seem overawed by Hamish there. The first one had a really good battle with Brody hanging tough, so he's a small kid, and he showed a lot of heart out there. So, yeah, hopefully later in the series, Brody can give a bit more to Hamish, and it'll be good to see some racing as those guys.
Yeah, it would. I think I was talking to Hamish after the race, and he said it was KTM wanting to do that race, that class in particular, and he sees it as a good chance to get more track time. He said he really enjoys the 125, and I think he's probably got that class in the bag. Like you said, Brody had a good run that first race, but also I was down trackside as well again, and it seemed like he wasn't pushing on that 125 as hard as he was on the 250. So whether he was putting in his full effort or not, but nevertheless, Conley also went 2-2-2, bet Ben Broad, who went 3-3-3, and it was, 15 years old, it was a good ride.
Yeah, no, definitely. Ben was definitely the best of the rest, a little bit off those top two, but yeah, worked his way to the third when he didn't start up with an early one, but yeah, he was easily the best of the rest. A couple of other guys, Josh Bergkamer on the 4-4-6, he was looking pretty good, and Tommy Watts rounded out the top five. Yeah, he had a little bit of up and down day on the Yamaha ride that he's on. So, yeah, it was a pretty good day in there.
It was a pretty good day, but it was a KTM Husqvarna 123, which was probably not surprising, seeing as they put a lot of development into their bikes. But, yeah, it'd be good to see, hopefully, some more rounds to come and some closer racing with any luck.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, without really any other distributor supported guys in there. Without Yamaha sort of putting a top guy in there this year, it is really a ostrich sweep in there.
So does this class, does MNZ see this class as a bit of a feeder to the 250F class for the juniors coming up, or what?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. Like, it's been a national class since the 70s. 25 racing's always been part of motocross most way around the world. So there was some talk, some people didn't think a lot, the older guys been in there, but I think it's a national class, and yeah, so if Hamish wants to ride it, or someone like Cameron Dillon wants to come back and give it a shot, I don't see someone in their 20s being a problem in that class.
No, that's right. It's, as you say, it is a national class, and there's not that many years ago now, we had Mini DK running that class and the 450s taking both, so it's not unheard of.
No, not unheard of. And it was the second most double number riders in that class in the 450 class, so it's getting the participants a little bit down on MX2, but yeah, it's I think it's around to stay for a while.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think even though it's not like officially what you'd call a feeder class, it is a great class for kids to come up from juniors into the seniors ranks.
Definitely, definitely, to step up to the senior tracks and how rough, especially at national level, they get. To go on a nice lightweight 125 for the first couple of years is a pretty good call for most kids, I believe.
Yeah, and I think riding 125s, you just get far more, you learn far more skills and far more bike activity than you do on the bigger bikes where you can just be a bit lazy.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. What you learn on 125 early on will keep you in good stead right the way through your racing career.
Yeah, and just unfortunate that a lot of manufacturers don't make 125, so it's really a orange, white and blue affair out there. Although I did see, like you said, Cam Dillon, he got a really good result in race two. I think he ended up 6th or 7th.
Yeah, yeah, he was out there on the 95 CL95, and there was another Honda and another Kawasaki as well, so a few guys running some of the older Japanese two-strokes. It's a shame that red, green and yellow don't make them anymore, and I'd love to buy a new Cat 25 personally, but yeah, it is what it is, and support the guys that make those bikes.
Yeah, that's right. So, moving along to 250s. This was probably one of my more favourite classes of the day, just because we had three different winners and three different races. Something we hadn't seen all day.
No, it was a really good show for there. I think Hamish Harwood came out, won the day, and did what we all thought he was going to do. First race, Maximus got the whole shot. Hamish got the second pretty early, and Maximus managed to pull away and win by 11 odd seconds, which is pretty good, isn't it? It seemed to be looking pretty good there, but Wilson Todd went down in the first lap in that one, in second place, or he might even been in the lead when he went down, and it would have been interesting to see all three of those guys battle. But yeah, he came out in race two, won it again. Wilson Todd won the second race, going away really. He seemed to make the most of the mud conditions early on, where Hamish Maximus got bad starts, and that first couple of laps was a little bit standing water on the sprinklers.
Sorry, Maximus actually, I think, got the short end of the stick for that race. Got the worst.
He had the worst start, had a couple of little trip overs, and really didn't make his way through that well till the last three or four laps. And I think in the Indy Salvage in eighth, which was about three laps to go, he was still 12th or 13th.
I checked that, he actually got a, he got a sixth right behind Groombridge.
Oh, okay. So he's up even higher than I thought, yeah. So he early on he looked like he might struggle on that, but he kept at it and he kept pulling through and ended up with the getting decent amount of points in that.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, he was really struggling in the start. He was back way past the top 10 initially, and he looked like it was going to go really bad. And then actually, Brooke Groombridge had probably the best race of that race too. He went down the first corner, and he just...
Him and Michael McGoldrick went down in the first corner, and both took quite a while to get going.
Yeah.
And I seen your interview, Brad wasn't happy with the water on the track.
No.
Yeah, it's like a cross-country race, you'll be used to a bit of water, but you know.
Exactly.
He charged hard all day, finished fourth overall, and then got back in front of Maximus in that one, and yeah, he really did charge hard.
Yeah, he did. So him both Groombridge and who's the other guy you said, Phil? McGoldrick. Yeah, they both passed Maximus, and then Maximus saw that, and he just seemed to pick it up, or maybe the track dried out a bit, and then he got McGoldrick back, but he just couldn't get Groombridge.
Yeah, well, McGoldrick actually, I was talking today, actually, he's currently in McGoldrick's brother as a replacement in the roof on my factory. Both roofers here in town, so yep. I was actually talking to Mike today, and he had lost a gear lever. Pulled in because his newest mechanic had a spare one, but they took a while to change it, so he only ended up with 4 points in that race, which is 17th from memory. So, yeah, he had a little bit of bad luck further on there, because he looked awesome in the first one, ended up fourth, led for quite a while with the whole shot.
Yeah, that's right.
And led for a few laps with the whole shot, and was fourth in the first one, and sixth in the last one. So, ended up eighth on a day, probably a little bit worse than expected, but... Jeff Scott had that Tatium 250 running well, and he got a couple of starts and looked really good when he was out front.
Yeah, he did. Someone who surprised me, maybe not for the better, was White Chase. I thought he might have done better on that Honda coming off the Kawasaki from last year. KTM last year. He showed some super speed at a lot of races, and he just didn't seem to fight it on the weekend.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to go well in this. Obviously, he had the shocker there last year. And to be fair, after Wakatani and some of the other earlier races, I thought he'd be pushing those top three guys. But ended up sixth on the day, tied for fifth, but lost it on the countback to Joel Meikle, who I thought Joel rode really well. Was probably my surprise top five of the day. And a pretty class. He showed his class a few years back, but he's been off the bike for a couple of years with some pretty bad injuries. So... coming out of South Island on the Yamaha, he did really well.
Nice. So the top three for the day there was Howard, Wilson, and Maximus. Those three were probably a step above.
Wilson and Purvis ended up tied on points, 60 points, so 9 points down in Howard. And I think the first two races Howard showed what we thought he'd be do and just. Get those podiums and keep going. But the last race, he started behind both those two guys and actually put the hammer down, passed both in the first lap, and checked out. And I thought, this is showed the real speed. And just checked out with those guys. To Wolf and Todd's credit, he pulled him back in the last 5 minutes and almost got to his wheel in the last lap, but never really looked like passing him. But yeah, Harwood's speed in that first sort of half of the first race, considering it was his fifth moto of the day. Really looked good.
Yeah, he did. He pulled off quite a good gap, and then there was a probably even bigger gap back to Maximus from Wilson. But yeah, it looked like that last few, like say 5 minutes, Wilson was pulling in, but I think Maximus might have just been easing off a bit too, because he did have one more race to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. A few other guys in that class that I put on first three was the other Australian, Morgan Fogarty. He ended up 7th overall. Was fourth in the second moto. He really impressed me. Showed some good speed. I haven't heard a lot about him coming in, but he showed some really good speed. And the other guy in the top 10 was probably a little bit better than expected was Brock Martins in ninth on the County Honda Series 250. Really good to see Paddock County Honda supporting the guy on motocross, which he hasn't done for a few years. So awesome to see the other bike shop in Pukekohe supporting you guys as well.
Yeah, that's right. And shout out to Ethan Martins, who had a shocker last race, which pretty much dropped him out of any good points.
He was actually DQ'd out of that race, so after an incident. So, yeah, that sort of carried on a bit afterwards, but probably less said about that the better. It was less of a track, and yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So, yeah, I think for me, MX2 was pretty exciting. Definitely a few different winners, and it's pretty much really anyone of the top three, maybe even top four guys, chance to take it.
Yeah, and I think that it shows what we said in the preview, that you can't have any bad races. Howard went 2-2-1, 20 hours, got a 9-point lead. Wilson had an 8, Maximus had a 6. You just can't do that again. They've had their one mistake. They can't afford any more. They need to start putting points on Hamish if they want to beat him for the title, because he's pretty good at just keeping these points going.
Yeah, he's like super consistent, and as you say, consistency usually wins out over raw speed. Even though Maximus was maybe, when he's on fire, he's maybe the faster guy, but like you say, you got to put together all three motos.
Yeah, I agree with that. And especially early on a flatter track, he seems to be the quickest guy on pure raw speed. But that doesn't always win your titles. You got to finish three races good every weekend. It's only a 12 race title, so you can't afford your bad races.
No, exactly right. Who else we got? I just wish Groombridge would do one class to really see what he can do, you know?
He didn't seem to be going through Pereira or anything in the last 451. He caught us out a little bit on Instagram this week. Obviously, we didn't know he hadn't entered, but he seems after Hurley got injured at Woodville, he stepped up for Suzuki to put someone in that 450 class. So, yeah, doing two classes, I think he did pretty good. Fourth in both MX1 and MX2 is nothing to be scoffed at. I'm not too sure if he's got the quite pace to run with those top three guys, but I think with Groomy, you know, he's going to be in that mix all day, every day, and he came out second in the title last year by doing that. So, yeah.
No, that's exactly right, but like I said, it'd be good to see him like focus on one class and really, because he's got that, when he gets out in front, I've seen him a few times, he gets the whole shot gouts in front, he's hard to get by and he's hard to pass, so, and he's just got speed.
Well, you could say he rides a pretty wide bike, so he's just wide in general, but yeah, you're right, when he gets out front, he goes damn good.
So, okay, so that's probably about it for MX2, anything else?
No, that was all. So 37 guys in that class. It was good to see a few guys pull that late, so we didn't have to knock anyone out of qualifying. So it was a good day.
So if you had 41, you really would drop one guy out, I guess.
Yeah, you would. You're only allowed to start 40 in the race, so they would drop back to MX3.
Oh, I hate to be that guy. Jeez.
Yeah.
Although to be fair, I've been that guy, so don't have to worry. Okay, so moving on to MX1, the big boys. So at the end of the day, we had Cody, Gibbs, Lamont, Cambridge, Chase, Knight, and Gillard, with Cody going 2-1-1 and Gibbs going 1-2-2, Lamont 3-3-3. So, yeah.
Yeah, this provided some pretty good racing. Cody seemed to get the whole shot in race one, but run wide, and Gibbs got the lead, and Cody seemed to be patient there and just happy to apply the pressure on him like that. He ended up running out of laps. Not too sure the track was too wide back in race one. He seemed to, in the infield section before the rollers, had some pretty good lines. And to get next to Kirk, Kirk did a great job of defending inside and keeping that going. Race one, Kane did seem to be looking for those two guys, but then in race two, he got the whole shot and he leaped to half the race and was looking pretty good. And then Cody managed to pass both the Elson Jesse Yamaha's to get the win. So, although, yeah, Cody looks like he goes on, I think he did it the hard way. I had to pass Kirk and both his wins. I had to pass Kane both times and Kirk the second time. It was pretty good racing. Cody sort of stamped the society on it, but with only a 3-point lead, there's basically nothing in it.
No, that's right. And I was talking to Cody after the race, and he says he doesn't have much luck here in the way of leaving with points. He always leaves with a points deficit, but this year he says it's one of the first times he's come away with the points lead, so he said he was pretty happy.
Yeah, he hasn't started the series well in the last 2 years. He's still made the Plymouth well down on points, so yeah, I think he's pretty happy to be leading.
And race one, I saw, yeah, he was all over the back of Gibbs, like he was giving him no room. He was going wide, Gibbs was cutting him off on the inside, and actually down the big jumps down the hill, he actually, in the air, he was gave him a bit of a wave to try and say, get out the way, but he just couldn't make that pass.
Yeah, Cody was really good down the hill and down over the 100 footer into that heap in there. would close right on tobacco Gibbs. But then Gibbs realised just went inside for the next sort of sequence of corners and managed to just hold Cody. I thought Cody had a really good line around the outside and for rollers, but he went away from it and started following Kirk to the inside. And I think he might have been able to make the pass around there, get stuck to it with a few more laps when he started going outside a few corners before. But I saw a lot of patience out of Cody that he knew he couldn't win it in that race one, but if he'd thrown it away, he could have lost a lot of points. So, yeah, it was a good day for Cody. He wants that number one plate back, and he did everything right to get it.
Yeah, he did. But I think he could have been a little more aggressive on a couple of those spots to get it past. But as you say, you can't win it on the first race, and you've got to think about the long game.
Yeah, and New Plymouth's a track, Barrett Road is a track that can really bite you pretty easy. There's been a lot of guys lose titles there over the years in pretty innocuous-looking crashes. So I think he probably did the right thing by being patient and letting it come to him.
Yeah, you can't tell, I guess, if you're not down the track, is it looks nice and tacky, but under that, it's got a really hard, slick base.
Yeah, it does. And New Plymouth's been known to catch a lot of people over the years.
Right, so that's... Where are we here? Cody, Gibbs, Lamont. So
fourth was Brad Greenwood again on the Kia Trailer Suzuki.
446, I think, 446, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so he was definitely best rest, and same with the 250 race, his last race was the worst one.
Yeah.
Having riding 620 minutes plus in a day, he's the only one doing the doing that in the two big classes, so showed him a little, but he was, he caught the pass. The guys early on, like Hadley Knight and Cohen Chase in the first couple of motos, and it was definitely the best of the rest out of the top three guys.
Although I think Knight got a couple of good starts in those races and ran up front for a while, and I think he might have had a crash in race one.
Yeah, race one he only got 8 points, so he must have pulled down. To be fair, I didn't really remember seeing him much in that first one, so he might have gone down quite early, but his last race was really good because he came through for that fourth and was looking really good in that last one, so... Really, I think the three Taupo-based guys, Greenwood, Chase and Knight, next three guys, I think they'll do a fair bit of battling with each other through the series.
Yeah. I think from memory, Knight was actually running third in that first race for quite a while. So I remember seeing the 777, I was like, who's that? It was quite impressive. And Lamont, for me, obviously showed quite a bit of raw speed, but maybe that time off the bike's just getting to him a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely struggled in the second half of the race, as you saw that in race two and especially in race three. I thought he was going to have second there, but Gibbs really kept the pace going after falling off early and got him back on the last lap. So I'm not too sure if Kane had a small tip over or was just completely out of energy. So, yeah, I think Kane will get better as the series goes on as he gets a bit more bike fitness. But, yeah, he showed probably a bit more raw pace than we'd seen. Definitely saw it than we saw at Woodbull. And he didn't look out of place leading that second race for quite a few laps.
No, he didn't at all. He looked super smooth and just sort of like the halfway point came, and then whether he just backed it down a bit or Cody stepped it up, one of the two, it's just, yeah, it was interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it might have been a bit of both, and I think Kane probably did the right thing too by preserving it, realising that, yeah, I mean, Gibbs was 15 points down after the first round last year and still won. Kane's only 12 points off the lead, so he's not too far off.
Yeah, for a bad day, for first Nationals back and haven't been riding for a while, you know, it's not a bad result.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he did the right thing.
So then we got Grimbridge, Chase, Knight, Gillard. So we talked about Gillard on the previous show.
Yeah, Gillard ended up tied in points and lost on the count back with Hadley. The only 2 stroke out there. Actually got some surprisingly good starts on that.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought he might struggle a bit more there. But yeah, he was good, looking at his fun, and that 2 stroke, Wayne has prepared bike, sounds crisp out there, so he was going well.
Oh yeah, it sounds good, and looks good too. I've got some nice looking, but yeah, just not on the pace of the front guys, whether that be the bike or just as well as him just not being a full factory rider.
Yeah, he's right. He's a full-time working guy. And I think, yeah, some of the guys who get to ride a bit more during the week showed it later in the races.
Yeah, that's right. So that's about it for MX1, right?
Yeah, well, we had Tyler Steiner, another younger guy, out of Pukehinga. He was 8th. Mason Wilkie, been around a long time now. He was 9th. And
Jacob Steele, young guy in a 450 on the Honda, to round out the top 10. I think he'd be pretty happy to be top 10 in the Nationals. Probably a little bit in front of some other guys that are a bit more known. So,
yeah
I think only 17 guys lined up for that class, but the Texas City there.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully we get a few more Rotorua. Is that you know if that track's known to get more riders at all?
I don't know. I haven't been following the national rider numbers enough to know if the Upper North Island gets a few more, but hopefully that is the case. The rest of the series is all sort of Upper North Island based, so yeah, hopefully we'll get a few more riders at in that class at Rotorua, Portacoli and Te Apo.
Okay, so I think we can both agree we're both on Harwood for the 125 championship at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see. Hopefully, I can see Brody maybe stealing a couple of wins. I think Rotorua maybe his best chance. Colin Cathy knows the best. I would not be surprised to see Brody steal a couple of moto wins, but I don't think he'll challenge Harwood for the overall. It's interesting that Harwood said that KTM wanted to ride that because obviously Brody had been KTM kid for a long time, but they moved him across to the LMC Husqvarna. So, yeah, interesting. You brought up that comment before.
Yeah. I just talked to him after the race and he said KTM just put it to him to do it. And he was like, yeah, might as well. He said it's much more fun than riding the 300 two-stroke.
Yeah, no, well, I can understand that too.
Yeah, okay. All right, so if we move on to MX2, back to MX2. For me, I've got to go, at the moment, what I saw on the weekend, I've got to go with Harwood. His consistency is just better than the rest.
I'm the same. I think what we talked about in the pre-race show proved true. He's just 2-2-1. I think that's what he's going to be like every weekend. And I think if he leads around without a race win, it won't really bother him that much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him win all four rounds, or maybe 3 out of 4. Wilson Todd looked good as well, and Purvis looked good early. And I think those guys have definitely got some more moto wins in them, but they've really got a limit in the stakes. And they now have to beat Harwood more than they have to beat him a lot. So yeah, unless one of those guys can really come out and dominate a round and win 3 races, I really don't see Harwood getting pushed there.
No, that's right. But my number two for me would probably be Wilson over Maximus, just because his last race consistency maybe a bit more in the tank at the moment, but.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think that track would probably be the worst for Maximus. We go back to Central North Island tracks, especially Rotorua and Te Apo, where Maximus has a lot of riding on, even for Mangatino. So, yeah, it'll be interesting there. I'm probably a bit more Maximus side the second overall if he can keep it on two wheels. I think he'll win more motos, but it wouldn't surprise me for him to have a DNF here or there as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm definitely... I don't want to say definitely, but I liked the look of Wilson on the weekend over Maximus, apart from race one. Just in that mud race really impressed me, and then backing it up on that third race too. So,
yeah, no, that's good, because occasionally Australians aren't that good in the mud. They don't seem to ride as much as we do, but yeah, Todd got the whole shot there, and he played it pretty easy the first couple of laps through the where the muddy sections was. And then, yeah, just built on it.
Yeah, interestingly, too, I talked to him as well after the race, and he mentioned when he gets out in mud races, he said he's not super fond of them, but he says when he gets out in the front of them, and he just seems to do well. It's just that when he crashes, he said, it seems to all go pear-shaped.
Yeah, that can happen in the mud. Once your grips and gloves are gone, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to MX1 to finish off. Cody Gibbs Lamont probably is going to be one of these guys. I'm gonna stick with Cody just because he looked faster on the day than Gibbs. Maybe Lamont looked the fastest in sections, but overall for me, Cody looked faster than Gibbs, and his motivation to get that one plate back is probably pretty high.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think again, Cody's really going to go well at Rotorua. I believe he rides there a lot. I think it's probably if he's got a home track in the series, that's it. He simply hasn't done good at Plymouth over the years, and he's come out there with a points lead. I think he's going to be pretty hard to heed from here.
That's right, yeah. Gibbs says, after the race, Gibbs said he's going back to Australia this week to do some more testing with CDR. Hopefully that's going to help him out a bit there. And Cody was pretty happy.
Yeah, I'd actually probably see more good in staying back in New Zealand for the New Zealand title, but I know for Gibbs, the New Zealand title is not his number one concern. So, yeah, the testing, I don't know how close he'd like to run in, whether he's running his Australian spec suspension over here or not, but any time in the bike will be a good time.
Yeah, well, he reckons he's got a full CDR bike over here to ride, so, yeah, so maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah, well, obviously, with uncertainty and like that, so he'll come back hard. It starts for good. Josh runs a great operation there, so, and they're really after that MX1 title that's eluded them. So they'll be throwing everything in the kitchen sink at Cody to try and get this. And having two bikes up the front can't hurt.
That's right, yeah, they've got a double attack in that MX1 class, so yeah, obviously keen to get that title.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. All right, so just a quick little chat on Rotorua. That's up in 2 weeks' time. Phillips Farm?
Yep, Phillips Farm on the Rotorua Tokoroa Highway there.
That can also go one of two ways, pretty good, or sometimes it can get pretty muddy if it rains.
Yeah, last year it was prime. I think Mikey had done a great job with the watering. A few years ago they put sprinklers in and it's really helped their track. They deep rip it, same as what the guys at New Plymouth did, and really get the water in the track. Again, another track with some pretty big hills on it, some big elevation change. And I think it provides good racing, some really good spectating points as well, where you can see three or four different parts of the track.
Yeah, there is. You go into the middle of the track up the top, you can see quite a bit. And the good thing about Rotorua over the years, they've got quite a bit of scope to change the layout of the track every now and then.
Yeah, no, they do, and I think, like a lot of clubs, they when they make some money, they put it back into the track and they improve it for the riders, so I think it's going pretty good. I think it'll be a good round. Hopefully we'll get a few more rider numbers in a couple of the classes, and yeah, it should be a great spectator point to be there.
And you're back again there with MNZ?
Yeah, I'm back again there in the race director role. Seemed to work pretty well as a liaison between MNZ and the club at round one. We had a pretty chum day with no injuries, no real hold-up. So I always race a event where the medics are aboard as a good event, and we had very few injuries on the weekend, so that was great.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. So your role as race director is to make sure the races keep on going or work to time?
Keep us on time, and yeah, that's basically it. So I stay up in the clubhouse, really off the track, let the steward and the clerk of the course, go safe and be able to sort out the issues. Where I start at the top and keep everything going.
Next round, Rotorua. Hopefully some more good racing, and yeah, we'll catch you there.
Okay, cheers, mate.
Okay, cheers, Scott.
Okay, thanks.